about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Happy Friday to everybody. Good news before I get to the weather update here. The Moreland Fire, 212 Fire, Woodward County Fire, whatever you want to call it, is officially out. They got about an inch of rain up there early this morning. They've disassembled the command center, and it is officially out. And big, huge thank you to everyone, especially the firefighters that were involved in this and helped with this. They were from Kansas, all over Oklahoma, and Texas. One time there was 150 units up there from different fire departments, and the Oklahoma National Guard, and there were the helicopters. Forestry Department was there, the Oklahoma Forestry Department, and they had planes come up from Abilene, Texas. I don't know how many loads, I think it was five or six loads of fire retardant they put down on that and kind of helped it get down to a spot. $180,000 a load, that was tough to bite off too many plane loads of that. But anyway, it is officially done. And then you got to remember, there's those behind the scene people that helped with those fires. And what I'm talking about is just normal people like you and me providing food. There was different restaurants out of Woodward, Moreland, and I don't know where else, but I know there was a bunch of them providing free food for the firemen and supporting them with food, people donating water and Gatorade, all that other stuff, crackers, eye drops, wet wipes, the whole nine yards, just numerous items, too many numerous items to mention, but it took a team, and it wasn't just the firefighters, it was everybody supporting them. And I want to reiterate, like I did yesterday and the day before, if you got time and you want to donate either money, donate it to your favorite fire department and or your local one. And if you don't want to donate money and you want to go buy some water and Gatorades and stuff like that for them, drop them off at the fire departments. They'll appreciate anything you want, because I'm going to say, with them working that all week, there's no telling what the fuel bill is going to be for all these fire departments going up there. I mean, these fire trucks they drive, they don't get 20, 30 miles to the gallon. So they'll burn the fuel up. So anyway, if there's any way in the world that you can help them, they will appreciate it. So anyway, the Moreland Fire is out and completed, and the command center is disassembled and gone to the house. So anyway, thanks again to all the firefighters that help on that deal. Currently at the Elk City Mezzanette, it is 82 degrees here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette. We are at the studio at 79 degrees. Humidity is 72%. The winds are out of the east-northeast at 19 miles an hour with gusts up to 23. It's just a really nice morning out there. Let's check out some of the area temperatures just to see what the variation is in our listening area. Looks like Mangum, you're 89. You're the hot spot, almost in the state, but down there toward Lake Texoma, they got it in the 90s. Coolest spot that I found was Wheeler and Arnett. You're at 76, and I take that back. Camargo, you're at 74. Bessie, you're at 84. Butler, 79. And Hollis, Oklahoma, 88 degrees. I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you later on the show. You got anything you want me to announce or anything for ag-related? 225-9697 is the KECO Ag text line. You can listen to us on Facebook. You can listen to us on KECO 96.5 FM. And you can also listen to us live on KECOFM.com. And no reason why to miss the show unless you just flat don't have a signal. All right, let's check out some of the grain futures. A lot going on. There's been a lot going on with the grains for the last, ever since February, January, just crazy left and right. Let me update this real quick, make sure it's good. Yep, 11 o'clock. Corn futures, September 617, December 621, March 628, and May of next year 631. Soybeans, August, $16.44, September, $14.91, November, $14.70, January, $14.75, and March of next year also is $14.70. Soybean meal, August, $502 flat across the board per short ton, September, $451.50, October, $424.30, August, soybeans. Oil, soybean oil, is 69.27 cents a pound. September 66.46. October 65.86. Hard red winter wheat. September $8.72. It's the only thing in the red today is that I can see so far on the grains is wheat and oats. December hard red winter wheat is 8.78. Oats, September $4.44 and December $4.38. And it looks like cotton is over the $1 mark finally again. It's at $1.02 per pound for October, and it's still just a scotch under a dollar for December futures. Sugar is hanging in there tough. It's up a little bit today. It's up there 0.0032 cents a pound today, but it's still not at 18 cents a pound. So that one pivot of sugarcane over there around Delhi, it's losing money. Anyway, let's check out the cash grain prices for elevators in Oklahoma and Texas. Let's see what's happening with it today. Of course, hard red winter wheat is down. Cash price for that is $8.16. Corn's at $7.53. And Milo is at $6.46. Soybeans, cash, $14.56 a bushel. Anyway, well, let's see what's happening in our nation as far as agriculture is concerned. Soybean and grain futures were higher in overnight trading as dry weather persists in much of the U.S. Corn Belt. About 30% of the bean and corn areas will be under stress for the next 10 days, including parts of the Dakotas, Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois, according to the Commodity Weather Group in its report. Temperatures are expected to be in the mid to upper 90s next week in the northern and western Midwest. This 6 to 10 day forecast shows temperatures well above normal in much of the western and central Corn Belt. Precipitation is expected to be below average in the eastern two-thirds of the country and in the 4 days ending on August 7th. That's a week from this coming Sunday. In the past week, a narrow band stretching from western Nebraska through eastern Kentucky saw plentiful rain, but the rest of most of the growing areas seen little precipitation, according to the National Weather Service precipitation page. Well, I know Kansas and northern Oklahoma and southern Kansas, you're getting it right now. My father-in-law up there at Billings, over there north and west of Perry, I think he said there was up to 2 inches when I talked to him earlier before the show. Little or no rain has fell in much of the Dakotas, Iowa, and Oklahoma in the past 7 days, according to the National Weather Service. About 59% of the U.S. soybean crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week. That's down from 61% a week earlier, according to the USDA in its report Monday or Tuesday. Some 61% of the corn earned top ratings. That's down from 64% the previous week. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 10.5 cents to $14.20 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell $4 to $422 a short ton, while soybean oil futures added 1.65 pennies to 64.9 pennies a pound. Corn futures for December delivery was up 9.25 to $6.28 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery surged 21 and three-quarter cents to $8.38 and three-quarter cents a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures added 18 and a half cents to $9.08 and a quarter a bushel. Sales of corn to overseas buyers rose while soybean cancellations resulted in a net negative last week. Corn sales in the 7 days that ended on July 21st were reported at 150,300 metric tons. That's up from 33,900 tons a week earlier. Mexico, they were the big buyer, 70,000 metric tons, followed by Japan, 41,700, Colombia, 15,500 tons, and Guatemala coming in last place at 9,300 tons of corn. For the 22-23 marketing year that starts on September 1st, exporters sold 193,700 metric tons of U.S. corn. That's down from 570,200 tons a week earlier. Exports for the week fell 22% to 867,900 metric tons. Soybean sales, meanwhile, was bad. It was a bad week for soybean sales. 58,600 metric tons. That's a reversal from the sales of 203,000 tons the week earlier due to mass cancellations this week. The Netherlands bought 57,000 tons. Egypt purchased 55,000 tons. Mexico was in there for 14,500. And Indonesia took 13,900 tons. Coming in there last place, if there is such thing, Japan bought 10,800 tons. An unnamed country canceled cargoes totaling 204,000 tons. And China axed shipments of 30,800 tons. For the 22-23 sales were reported at 748,800 metric tons. That's well above last week's sales of 254,000 tons. Soybean exports for the week were reported at 499,900 tons, and that was up 13% week to week. Finally, wheat sales fell 19% from the previous week and 29% from the four-week average. The Philippines purchased 98,000 metric tons. Mexico, 67,000 tons. Thailand took 56,000 tons. Unknown country bought 43,000 tons. And Honduras was in there at 36,000 tons. Got a question for you guys. Why do you think these USDA reports say unknown countries bought 43,000 tons? Why wouldn't they name them? I mean, are they afraid somebody's going to find out they got food coming into the port? Or what's the deal on that? I just don't understand it, but that's why I'm here, not over there. Exports for the week came in at 345,800 tons, and that's noticeably up from the week before. Well, weather going on all over the country. We got flood washes. We got heat. I mean, it's just going on. It's typical stuff going on. Flood watches have been issued for a large chunk of land stretching from western Arizona. They're in their monsoon season right now. Including southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, according to the National Weather Service, and they are getting some rain, and it's stretching out as far as eastern Oklahoma also. In southwestern Kansas, excessive runoff from the continuing rainfall may result in floodings of rivers and other waterways. The flood watch is in from 7 a.m. through tomorrow afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms will spread across southwestern Kansas into central counties in the morning, and that's where they're at now. Another round of thunderstorms are forecast for this afternoon and evening. Periods of heavy rainfall will be possible with the strongest storms, including the potential for localized flooding. All right. Okay, so I got some tickets to give away, and I want to give them away today. It's simple. I got two sets of tickets, so I'm going to give it away to the first text and the third text. And it's the KCO presents Elk City Motor Sports Park. Sooner Limited Modified Series invades Elk City Motor to do battle with our local regional U.S. RA Limited Mods. This Saturday, gates will open at 5 o'clock and the racing starts at 7 o'clock. Other classes that will be racing are the U.S. RA factory stocks and tuners. Come on out and get sideways with us on the semi-bank 3/8 mile dirt track. If you've never been to the Elk City Speedway, you need to go. It's pretty fun to watch. Adult admission from 16 to 64 years of age is $12. Youth 8 to 15, senior 65 plus, active duty military and first responders are only $8. Children under 8 are free. There'll be concessions and or food trucks will be available. They are located right out here on west of town here on 20th Street, 5612 West 20th Street here in Elk City. If you want more information, go to their Facebook page, and it's Elk City Motor Sports Park. So the first and third person that texts us in says, "I love stock car racing," and leaves me with your name, I'm going to give you a free set of tickets, one pair for each winner. Anyway, it'll be fun. It's tomorrow night, and you don't want to miss it. They're under, they changed a lot of stuff, and I think it's way for the better. So I'll take the first and the third person to text in, "I love stock car racing." And you can say, "I love Dale Earnhardt." I don't care. One of the two. If you just tell me you love something about stock car racing, you're going to get some tickets, and I'll put your name on them and put them up front. And anytime after my show today, you can pick them up. Well, coming up, I got some live and feeder cattle futures to look at. I got the report from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday. Looks like they had a little over 3,000 head up there. And anyway, I'm a happy person today. That fire's out up north, but it looks like we got some more fire weather coming on later next week. So be prepared and be safe. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 22nd. 2,073 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 330 brought 206. 4 at 466 brought 186. 16 at 517 brought 174. 10 at 562 brought 157. 5 at 922 brought 147. 3 head of heifers at 247 brought 184. 7 at 408 brought 158. 9 at 541 brought 153.50. 14 at 654 brought 147. 4 at 911 brought 128.50. $1.50. Butcher cows were $15 to $86.50. Butcher bulls brought $55 to $108. Bred cows were $6.50 to $12.25. Pairs brought $8.50 to $17.85. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
82 degrees, heat index is at 86, winds out of the east, northeast, 16 miles an hour with gust up to 21, and the humidity is 64%. So if you got some dry grass hay down, you probably can get her belled up right now if you're actually out there doing it. So get out of the coffee shop and go finish your hay baling. How's that? Anyway, got lots of good responses on the text line. I got a couple of winners as soon as they text me their names back. Everybody that answered didn't send me their name. I don't know if I emphasized that, but I really need your name. So if you want these tickets, text me your name back. And Will wants to know, do you really know someone named Bill Dance with the irrigated sugarcane field? Man, I can't answer that live on the air. Sorry. Anyway, but hey, it's all fun. And then I don't know their name, but it's under asking for a friend is what they've got him named here at the radio station. They want Jimmy for president. I ain't going to run for president because the last guy that was president was actually a peanut farmer, and I don't think he didn't do very good. So anyway, but I will tell you, he was the first president I ever voted for legally, that I could legally vote anyway. But anyway, yeah, he was the first president that I voted for, and I guess he didn't do that bad a job. Inflation was crazy, recession, interest rates at the banks were 20%. He had a kind of a bad military experience over there in Iran trying to rescue some hostages. Other than that, he did a great job, I guess, but he's turned it around. I hate to talk politics, but you see him out there now. He's in his 90s, and he's helping people remodel houses, building houses for veterans. So I am not going to knock on it. All right, I got all of my names in. My favorite, you're right, you are my favorite Longhorn guy. Matter of fact, well, I know some other people that have Longhorn cattle, but anyway, you are my favorite. And so anyway, congratulations to him and Curtis Kristen. You won tickets to the stock car races tomorrow night, and we'll get over that. So anyway, good deal. All right, let's check out some futures real quick, and on cattle, on livestock, how's that? Live cattle for August, up a little bit, 136.67. October's 142.37. December's 148.32. And February live cattle, 152.35. Feeder cattle for August, 178.75. It's up 1.3. September's 181.75, up about the same. Lean hogs for August, 120.50. October, 97.05. And December 87.62. All right, let's check out what happened in big stockyards up there in Woodward yesterday. Looks like they had 3,608 head compared to last week. They had 3,148. But a year ago, something was going on. There was 4,522 head went through the Jerry 9 cell arena up there. So anyway, let's check out some of the price. There was a lot of what this report's telling me. I think, like I said, I'm not the smartest of cats, but there was a lot of people are just pulling their calves off their mamas and sending them to the sale barn because there's a lot of unweaned numbers in here. So let's go through some of them real quick. Here, for example, 327 pound average weight steers brought 189.50, and they were unweaned. 387 pound weaned ones brought anywhere from 197 to 205. 435 pound unweaned, 189. 457 pound average weight work, 198 to 206. And then we get down here to some 528s that were unweaned. Average price was $189.52. And then we got some 573 unweaneds that brought up to $2. And that was a big set of cattle, hit a bunch there, 68 in that bunch. And then we got some that were worked, weighing 627, brought up to $1.92. Average price on them was $181.98. And then some unweaned ones, basically the same price in that 600-pound range, one up to $190.25. And what do we got here? Let's find some 700-pounders. Here we go. 700, a big bunch, 175 head of 790-pounders, 163 to 167. Average price on them was $166.43. Then we have some 876-pound steers, brought up to $1.66.25. Average price, $165.01. 900-pounders, $9.41 to be exact, brought up to $1.65. And then we had some 1,000-pounders, 1,020 pounds to be exact, $159.60. Average price on them was $159.11. All right, let's get to some heifers. Some 342-pound unwinged ones brought $1.81. Some 357-pounders winged $1.82. 471-pounders brought up to $1.92.50. 535-pounders brought up to $1.83. And then we had some 554-pounders that were unwinged, averaged $1.64. And we got 665-pounders, $1.50. And some 711-pounders, $1.65. And then we got some 150, 154, 150, 104. Some 900-pound heifers brought $1.35. And some 1,000-pound heifers brought $1.18. There you go. There's your reports. And then they had on the bulls, medium to one. It looks like the bulls were bringing any, well, they averaged, they were about all, well, 361-pound bulls brought $200 a hundred, and 562-pound bulls brought $177. All these were unweaned, $177.37. This kind of tells me that, you know, with this drought going on, these guys are just pulling these calves off the mamas and bringing them straight. That don't mean they're not unworked. They're just unweaned. So there you go. All right, when I come back, I got a little article I want to go over with you about the shortage of big animal vets, and it's all very important to all of us that raise cattle, horses, goats. Also, doesn't matter, it's a pretty important article because it just, it's getting worse year by year. And then I think out here in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, we all know too well about the shortage of veterinarians, big animal veterinarians. It's been slowly going by with our older vets retiring. We're lucky here in Elk City. We got Dr. Joey McConnell and Dr. Dick over there at Circle M, and Taylor Mouse, a little over a year into Stockman's Veterinary. Dr. Mouse is here, but there used to be one at Sayre. They used to, I think the one at Cheyenne's retired, one at Mangum's retired, and I'm not sure at Hobart. I think there's still two big animal vets there. There's one in Cordell, maybe two in Cordell. I'm not up on all my vets, and I know we got at least two in Clinton, but it seems like it's just slowly going away. So anyway, when we get back, we'll talk about that. It is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 25th. 1,858 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 368 brought 204. 5 at 451 brought 165. 13 at 693 brought 175.50. 24 at 834 brought 164. 3 at 848 brought 159. 7 head of heifers at 384 brought 180. 5 at 500 brought 171.50. 20 at 618 brought 168.50. 4 at 635 brought 141. 9 at 829 brought 153.50. Butcher cows were 11 to 75. Butcher bulls brought 61 to 107. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge. With a small farmer or a big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyard's, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Heat index is at 88 at Elk City Mesonet. Let's see if anything is going crazy in our listening area as far as temperature. Don't think so. 97 at Tipton, 94 at Altus, 94 at Mangum. There are hot spots going on right now. But, man, down there around Lake Texoma, down there, they're already in the triple digits. It's pretty warm. And, actually, the warmer spot in Oklahoma right now is down at Hugo at 104. So, anyway, it's nice and coast down there. But it's in the 60s and 70s in northern Oklahoma. So, a nice day for up there. All right, let's check out my little veterinarian deal. Had to grab for it. The veterinarian shortage in rural America, it is an ongoing issue. I know I've been following it ever since we started the show here a little over a year ago, and we can see it for our own eyes around here. For over two decades, rural America has faced the crisis a very few are talking about, and we really do need to be talking about it. And that's the shortage of veterinarians. The shortage puts stress on both veterinarians and producers, affecting the entire food animal system. While this shortage is not a new issue, it has worsened since the start of COVID-19 pandemic. The shortage of veterinarians is a national and international issue, according to Roslyn Biggs, DVM, Director of Continuing Education and Beef Cattle Extension Specialist at Oklahoma State University. Here in the United States, in over 500 counties and 44 states had vet shortages in 2019, many of them rural areas, according to the USDA, and this has only worsened since 2019. Rural veterinarians have been experiencing shortages and underservice for a long time, Biggs says. This is largely similar to issues with human medical care in rural areas. Only about 5% of vet students are interested in food, animal, and rural medicine, said Lee Jones, DVM, Food Animal Health and Management Professor at the University of Georgia. Students' focus tends to narrow during vet school. There's more opportunities for small animal facility work in many vet schools and more mentors and practices who reach students compared to the food animal-focused veterinarians. The veterinarian unemployment rate was at 0.7% in 2020, and this trend continues to decline, according to the 2021 American Veterinary Medical Association State of Profession report. It's expensive to become a veterinarian, and once students graduate, it's more lucrative work in private and small animal practices. It feels like every practice in the state of Wisconsin is hiring, says Nicole Costello, a 2017 Iowa State University veterinarian graduate and partial practice owner in Wisconsin. There's a town, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, but anyway, and there just aren't that many students who are interested in doing large animal medicine. I feel like there's a shift to people who are more interested in small animal, and there's definitely more money in doing small animal, which is always appealing. It is. It can be difficult to attract young people back to the rural communities, Big said. From OSU, veterinary medicine in rural areas often comes with longer hours and lower salaries than small animal private and urban practices. Student debt is forcing people to take higher salary jobs, according to Biggs. The average vet school debt is $188,853. For those 83% of the students with debt, according to 2021 ABMA report, 34% of the students graduate with more than $200,000 in debt. The life of a rural veterinarian is a difficult lifestyle. 38% of vets are considering leaving the profession, according to the 2021 ABMA report. The top reason for this consideration is work-life balance. Vets work long, unpredictable hours, especially those in rural and single doctor practices. Farmers talk to their vets like bartenders, Jones says. I remember being in a practice talking with several farmers who were on the verge of bankruptcy and just having the tailgate conversation with them. They just felt comfortable with us and would confide in us when you have that relationship. Mental health in the veterinarian practice continues to be a struggle for many. Suicide rates for all involved in agriculture practices, period, are higher than any other profession. The challenge that we have from a beef cattle perspective, veterinarians, in my mind, are raising, they're all about raising quality, healthy cattle. The veterinarian's role is critical to animal welfare and having a high degree of food safety on the plate for consumers, Big said. And last but not least, the shortage of veterinarians in rural America directly affects many farmers and ranchers. Producers would have limited access to vet services, according to Biggs. Additionally, they lack the ability for a timely emergency response when needed. A vet call cost for a farmer or rancher will also continue to rise with a shortage of vets in their area, according to Jones. The further a vet must travel, the more work they take on, the more it will cost. Last but not least, I encourage producers, if they don't have a relationship with a veterinarian, they need to establish one. And the time to establish that is not a 2 a.m. cabin call, Big says. She continues, adding that veterinarian practices are similar to small businesses and need clients to support them. Establishing a relationship with your vet will allow them to keep their practice open in your area, a benefit for both you and them. And I know of some towns around Western Oklahoma that I think are willing to give up land, provide the land for somebody to build a new practice. Well, then you got somebody coming out of college with $200,000 worth of debt, and they're needing to, it's tough. Go borrow money to build a vet practice when you can go to work for somebody else And there's a lot of hardships for veterinarians, and I know quite a few veterinarians, and it's not a glamorous life. You know, you don't see the vets pull up in a Mercedes Benz getting ready for surgery in OR. Them guys pull up in a pickup truck like we all got, and we just need them. It's very important that when they've got their own cattle, I know most vets got their own cattle, their own jobs that they got going on there. But I think it'd be if we could find somebody. There's no way I don't think the government or any school is going to be able to help build a vet clinic in a town that's offering free land for them. But I think we had somebody in the neighborhood that was a well-to-do business person or business that wanted to invest in something. They can invest in a vet clinic and become partners with a vet until that vet can get it paid off, do some kind of leased own agreement with them, or you know, make a little interest off the money or something like that. You never know, but we do need more big animal vets in Western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, because we are running short, and we have good ones right now. I'm not knocking them at all. It's not what I'm doing, but I just think there's a shortage of them. So anyway, well, when I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you, and we'll talk a little more about cattle. And the new U.S. drought monitor is out, and I'm sure it's going to change again next week because of all the rain they're getting up north. But no matter, we got a lot more red showing up in the state of Oklahoma. The whole state is under a drought one way or the other, whether it's a D1, D2, D3, or I didn't see any D4s yet, but we're getting closer. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, July the 26th. We sold 1,075 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, July the 28th, we sold 3,608 kids and feeders for a total of 4,683 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 69 to 81. Thin cows bring 30 up to 67, with the bulls bringing 82.5 to 104. 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 650 to 1100, with the 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1100 to 1625. Kids and feeders, much higher. Feeders, 2 to 6 higher. Kids, 5 to 15 higher. Honor steer cattle, 350 to 408 steers, 197 to 205. 450 to 508, 198 to 206. 6 to 650 steers, 173.5 to 192. 7 to 750, 167 to 177. 8 to 850, 164 to 174.5. 9 to 950, 164.5 to 165.50. And our 1,050 pound steers, 157 a quarter to 159.60. 1050 to 11 weight steers, 144 to 158. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 181 to 182. 4 to 450, 175 to 189. 5 to 550, 159 to 183. 6 to 650, 149 to 176. 7 to 750, 160 to 169.75. 8 to 850 heifers, 145 to 155.5. 28 heifers, 1916, bring 135. And our 1,050 pound heifers, 117 to 119. Very good market. Figure what some of these cattle are bringing. Might ought to take advantage of it. For this Tuesday, August the 2nd, We will have 40 bred cows and pairs 4 to 8 years old. We also got 70 bred cows running age. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-84 degrees, heat index at 87, winds are out of the east, northeast, 19 miles an hour, humidity is 60%, and winds gust are up to 26 today, 50% chance of rain, 89 for a high. Tonight, 60% chance of rain, 68 for a low. Tomorrow, 40% chance, 89 for a high. Tomorrow night, 30%. And starting again Sunday, here comes the heat wave again. 97 for a high Sunday, Monday 98, Tuesday 100. And that's in the Elk City area off the mezzanette. Let's just change the mezzanette real quick and see the difference between the forecast between here and Altus. It's same thing, except their temperatures are hotter, about 3 degrees. Starting Sunday, it's all going to be in the triple digits at Altus. So there you go. I got that. Let me change that back so the next guy doesn't get mad when he comes up and he thinks he's reading Elk City's report and it's Altus. Come here. Come here, Elk City. Where are you at? There you are. Anyway, get that change back for him. All right. Here we go. Drought. Texas. Our listening area out in the Texas Panhandle. Looks like Collinsworth County, Wheeler, Hemp Hill, you guys are all in basically a D2, and not very south, far south, right there in the corner of Childress County is in a D3, and looks like if you look at the Texas drought map for today and check it out, the same time period, end of July in 2011, Oklahoma and Texas was solid red, most of it dark red. So the drought's not as bad as 2011, but it's getting there. So anyway, a lot of more D4 come up in Texas, and I hate it. Okay, let's check out Oklahoma and check out, see what we got going here. And it's showing that eastern Oklahoma has more red in it now than western Oklahoma. But in our listening area, Jackson County, Harmon, Greer, and Kiowa County, we are all in the D3 red zone, dark, not the dark, but there's no D4 in Oklahoma right now. And up there in Major County and Woodward County, you guys are all in the D3 also. Hopefully this rain that you guys are getting will change that a little bit. But man, a little bit of hope going on right here in northern Roger Mills County and Ellis County. You know, they're for the last month, every other week or once a week, they were getting showers coming through there that we wasn't. But they are only in a D1 moderate drought, and the Oklahoma Panhandle's either in a D2 or D3. And so, hey, the drought's it's got a little redder in Oklahoma, but hopefully these rains today, tonight, tomorrow will help kind of soothe things over like that. And that's your U.S. Drought Monitor update. All right, let's see here. I need to get rid of that. And yesterday I promised you guys that I was going to give you some advice on watering your garden. Gardening in Oklahoma is always a challenge. Believe me, it is. I know. I thought I was a pretty good gardener, but I'm right this year there's probably either 1 or 2 out of 10 gardens in out here in western Oklahoma, but most of Oklahoma is doing very good. The rest of them not so good, and I'm one of those that's not so good. But ever since I mulched my garden with rye straw, it's getting way better. My plants are looking healthier. I'm just going to have a late garden, but it'll be good. I got cantaloupe, watermelon, okra, tomatoes, squash, everything. It's coming. I'm a little late, but it's coming. It's also, you know, always a challenge, especially in our current drought, being in a drought and a heat wave, matter of fact. Both situations are dangerous for plants, and together they can be deadly without some intervention by the gardener. There are several ways one can provide assistance to your plants. The first, of course, is water. The best time to water is between 6 and 10 a.m. in the morning. This is considered the best because it allows the plants to absorb water before the heat of the day, and less evaporation takes place also. The next best time is between 4 and 7 p.m. This frame allows any water on the leaves to evaporate before evening. And you're thinking, what's he talking about? Well, listen up. Wet leaves at night are an invitation to disease and molds to attack your plants while they are heat stressed. How you water also is important. The water needs to be aimed at the base of the plant and the root zone. The most efficient way to do this is with a drip irrigation or soaker hose. These methods ensure the water is getting to the root. If using a hose, lay it down on the ground and flood the area with water at the root zone. Sprinkling the tops of plants is the most inefficient method. Deep watering every few days is better than a quick sprinkle every day. Poke your finger into the soil and see if the ground is moist several inches down and not just on surface. Watch plants for signs of stress, such as wilting. And the last 3 days, I've lost 2 pepper plants and 3 tomato plants, and they're done. They're turning yellow from the base up, and the leaves look sad. I water them at the base. And it just couldn't handle it. It's a crazy year. It also helps to conserve water in the ground to keep the soil. Second way to help plants is to mulch. We often think of mulch on a way to prevent weeds, and it does do that. It also helps to conserve water in the ground and to keep the soil temperature cooler. Keep beds weeded, as weeds also will take up water meant for your plants. So the plants that I've lost in the last 3 or 4 days were actually in tubs, and they were in the shade of the house. They're next to the house. They don't get a humongous amount of sunshine, but they do get some, and it's usually early in the morning, and they're in the shade in the afternoon during the heat. They just ain't handling this heat very well. I don't know what. I got this idea. It was my fault because they're right next to the house, and it's brick. I'm just wondering if that brick is putting off some more heat also. So I pulled them out a little bit yesterday to see what happens. Avoid stressing your plants with pruning and transplanting during a heat wave. So even though you don't like that little dead leaf on the bottom of your tomato plant, leave it alone. Do not stress your plant no more than you have to. Wait until the heat wave has passed before fertilizing. Fertilizing will actually stress your plants more during the heat wave. Mulching, watering consistently, and harvesting early will benefit vegetables. Productions of vegetables will be slow or non-existent during the heat stress, but will return with cooler temperatures. The goal during a heat wave is just actually to keep your plants alive. And when it cools down, and it always does, they will thrive again. And that's, you know, that's one thing I learned about this article is that, you know, thinking about that watering all night, because it's so easy, just turn your water on, get up the next morning and turn it off, because this ground's using a lot of moisture. But ever since I put the rice straw on there and mulch it, I'm twice a week now. I was every other day, now I'm twice a week. So I'm saving at least 1, if not 2 waterings a week using mulch, and you can walk on it. You're not walking in dirt. I don't have any weeds in my garden. I love it. And it's doing good. I'm just running late. I'm going to tell you, I'm running late. The wind got me one day. It destroyed 75 of my tomato plants, one windstorm. So I had to start all over. Anyway, and also remember to be very quiet when you pick your corn. They have ears and can hear you. Don't want them to get them stressed out either. Man, appreciate all the good advice I get from my listeners. If you guys didn't understand that, listen. Also, remember, be very quiet when you pick your corn. They have ears and can hear you, so you don't want them to get stressed out while you're picking the ears off the plants. Anyway, we got a funny guy on a Friday, don't we? Anyway, so that's pretty cool. Good advice there from a master gardener out of Oklahoma. Wrote an article in the Daily Oklahoma. So anyway, all right, how do we do? What are we going to do here? Let's see here. I seen something about Oklahoma I wanted to read, and now I can't find it. Oh, yeah, they came out with an article on drought conditions hold steady across the United States with some spotty relief. I noticed Oklahoma in this article, and I just want to read you this short paragraph. This person's out of Iowa said, "We might be looking at a decent crop now, but we still need rain in August, particularly early planted corn and beans are looking good. And corn is looking good." But he said, "I feel sorry for those folks in western Kansas and Oklahoma and Colorado. It's real, it's bad, and it's true. We need some beneficial rains. Flash drought in northeast Texas and all of Oklahoma has caused severe crop deterioration." So anyway, you guys have a wonderful weekend. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.